you're in the 06010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. If you're listening to the audio feed, today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. And with that, we say hello. It is Thursday, August 5th. Field Yates, Matthew Berry hanging out with you again. And we are into Double Trouble, part two. We will be covering the great state of Ohio. But before we get to that, Matthew, what's going on?
It's Manifesto Day.
Yeah, it
baby.
Is.
That's right. Draft Day Manifesto 2021, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Drafters is available now on ESPN.com, the ESPN app, the ESPN Fantasy app, and it's 100% free.
Wow, how about that? Free for all to read.
Free for all to read.
I sort of feel
share
like,
it, post yeah. it, argue about it on Facebook.
I'll probably do
make
that.
TikToks about it.
Ooh, there's an idea. I am only a consumer on TikTok. I'm not a producer of content on TikTok, but it is mind-numbing how much time I spent on that app.
Really, you're on TikTok quite a bit.
I can't get enough of it. I mean, it's
really?
Funny. So all these apps, they all aggregate your feed. And basically,
sure.
like rather than just watching a variety of different stuff, it basically sends you the same couple of topics that they sense.
Right.
When you talk about them, your phone hears you. And next thing you know, I watch TikTok videos and I am not joking. It's about 94% golden retrievers
yeah.
and cool golf shots.
Yeah.
That's it. I've been playing a bunch of golf this summer.
Right.
And obviously, Cisco is the light of our life. That's
I
it.
Started playing golf this summer too.
Did you really?
I really did.
We should get out there sometime.
I'm terrible.
Okay,
just
good.
So you
so
know,
am I, but I play a lot. Yeah.
I am brutal. Okay. I am brutal, but I'm playing this Friday after the show. But what I was going to say is, you know, my TikTok. So it's not golden retrievers. I do get some golf shots. I get some boating stuff. I get
yeah.
like cool boats and
right.
everything like that. I've become a bit of a boating guy and dance videos. Have you seen
that was big
I went
early?
Oh, I know, but and
sure.
I've gone, but like these the ones that like the all these they're doing moonwalks and they're yeah. doing like and like kind of flash mob stuff and like and there's
Is
like
he?
There's these groups of people that will like they'll go into the middle of the street, like you know in the middle of traffic and then all of a sudden break out into a dance and like there's just a bunch of different versions of that where people are like they're in a mall and somebody starts dancing and then it appears that some random customer starts dancing with them
yeah.
and like so all those. Are really, really cool.
So, as I was saying earlier, Daniel, like what tends to happen on these apps, Instagram is certainly
yeah.
very much on board with this as well, is like I could say to Chape and be like, you know, it'd be great to visit Alaska. And the next thing you know, I open up Instagram and I've got like 9 travel packages offering the best rates to Alaska.
They absolutely listen to you.
100%.
I will never forget this. So my wife, Beth, and I were over at a friend's house recently. And we were sitting outside, and they had a fire pit
yep.
that they had just gotten.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, and I was like, oh my god, that's what a nice fire pit. Understand that I follow nothing on any of my social media about outdoor furniture
right.
or anything like that. The next day, 3 different ads on Instagram about fire pits.
Yeah,
that's so.
So where
good.
I was going with this
and
is that
it was just like, oh wow, that's a nice fire pit. Yeah, we got it, so and so, and you know, whatever. 30-second conversation about a fire pit at our friend's house.
Yeah. Well, TikTok. Yeah. So again, TikTok tends to follow your habits as well. Things you're interested in. Are you telling us that you're like part of a flash mob, like in the mean streets of Connecticut
oh
or something?
Gosh.
Like, are you a dancer? Like,
I enjoy watching those videos is what I will tell you.
I am very
impressed by that. Cause I have no rhythm at all. Although some people said, not me, but I'm just saying some people said, I was the star of the dance floor at Field and Chapin's wedding. Some people said that.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. So, you know, one of those where, like, I'm going to tell my grand. Like, right now, I just played college football, and I was just bad. But by the time I'm, like, 75, I will have won the Heisman Trophy.
Right.
As far as they're concerned. That's
sure.
kind of where we're at with you,
exactly
right?
Exactly
like,
right.
At the time.
The further away we get from your
yeah,
wedding,
yeah, like,
the more the better I was on the dance floor.
I yeah. did hear that people actually mistook you for George Clooney while you were out there on the dance floor, which makes sense, obviously, with you
the
guys,
salt
you know,
and pepper hair,
yeah,
right, of course, and the gray there. The other thing that shows
we actually,
up,
hold, we really quickly, this. We actually have a
those
tweet from
watching.
Jordan. Look at that,
the big three. How about that? The most interesting man in the world, George Clooney, and Matthew Barry. But look at that. They have like 1,000 wrinkles. You're
well, that's
smooth.
An older photo of me, but. Jordan Chong, thank you very much, because there's a lot of photos of me on the internet. He chose a nice
That's
one.
A good one. Yeah.
He chose a nice one. Like, there's a lot that, there's a wide range that you could go from.
That's so
there you
good.
Go.
Oh,
so that's
man.
That's a nice one, Jordan Chong. Thank you very much. The other thing that comes up a lot on my TikTok is, because my girls, you know, will take my phone and they'll
right.
watch it. It's my daughters. And so, like, Squishmallows, which is a stuff. It's a big stuffed animal craze right now. So like Squishmallow videos will come up, slime videos. My daughters love slime videos. You know, like so those come up. Those come up quite a bit as
Last thought, and then we're gonna talk about football. I promise. But like when Stefania opens up her TikTok. And it's like world's most insane houses and private jets.
Right.
You think she's like, this is boring compared to my actual
life. Yes.
Totally. When people are fanning me down and carrying me, like she doesn't even take, she's never taken an Uber before. She's only used Uber Blade, which is the helicopter.
Right. Do you, I mean, you, everyone thinks we're joking, but I don't know if anyone saw, if anyone follows at Stefania Bell on Instagram, on the gram, like, so she was in my wife and I went to Nashville for the Jimmy Buffett concert with a group of friends. Stefania was there as well. And she was there for a conference. And we met up and we went to the concert together. It was great. We had a lot of fun. Of course, she was with my wife the whole time. But then this is all on her Instagram. So I'm not outing her because this is all stuff that she put out there. She was on a private jet flying to Vegas for the UFC fight.
Dang, tough life, Stefania, huh?
And then she had like great tickets to the McGregor the Poirier fight.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow.
I mean,
man,
when I so when I say star Fania, I mean
you're almost underselling it. Yeah.
The emphasis is on the star, not the Fania.
Not the
Fania. All right, we'll do Double Trouble in just a moment. But a reminder that we do have preseason football tonight, the very first preseason game in 707 days. The Cowboys and the Steelers taking kicking off at in Canton, Ohio, site of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Cannot wait for that. And speaking of Ohio, it is time for Double Trouble. Please tell me we have the drop.
That was a...
Yes! Oh.
You can't even be mad at me.
I can a little bit, because I'll tell you why.
I don't have it. It's Field, not in front of
me. Dude, Field crushed that segue. Speaking of the state of Ohio, like, I don't know if that was planned, but that was such a good segue. And then there was, like, 2 seconds of dead air.
It's not my fault. I got a laptop in front of me and a microphone. Now, but for the record, our director, Lisa, is incredible. She's so good at so many things.
You just try to throw Lisa under the bus because I will kill you.
No, but listen, but she has 4,000 jobs upstairs in the control room. So
we're trying one.
Calling for.
You have one button.
I know. Well, we're working on it. We're working on getting my iPad fixed so that I can play the... I promise, guys. I
just get a Genius Bar appointment. but I'm not calling for that drop anymore. I don't want to make anybody... be put into a tough spot. So we're going to start with the Bengals today, Matthew.
We don't want to tax you by making you press a button, Daniel.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. He's working hard over there.
Right.
So let's get to...
By the way, if we did make a Genius Bar appointment, Daniel's who shows up, by the way. Like, Daniel looks like when you go to an Apple store, that's usually the guy that waits on you.
TJ Hawkinson.
Absolutely.
What do you say?
I love it.
What
do you
say?
So good. Let's talk about the Bengals for a second.
Yes, sir.
Here, the Bengals, of course, finished last year 4-11-1. Of course, that also included Joe Burrow being out from November 22nd on after suffering a major knee injury against the Washington football team. And that brings us right to Burrow, Matthew. I'm going to get into it. You've got him at quarterback 13. I've got him at quarterback 15. And Daniel has him at quarterback 12. So he got hurt last year. He is expected to be ready for week one of the season. Early buzz in training camp can be a little bit of a dangerous game, right? Because there are players every year that are starring, and then they are rarely, if ever, heard from during the season. Everybody looks good during this time of the year. Everybody looks good right now, right?
Quintez Cephas looks good right now.
Everybody looks good. But there are also occasional reports of a player who doesn't look very good.
Right.
We haven't seen many of them, but there's been some pessimism surrounding the start of Kenny Galladay's tenure in New York.
Sure.
And most recently, there was a write-up on The Athletic that outlines some of the struggles the Bengals are having right now offensively and noting that Joe Burrow doesn't quite look all the way back yet. Does that concern you? And then, if depending on what the answer is there, what's your outlook for Joe Burrow this year? Because I think he is an interesting, and I don't mean that positively or negatively yet, quarterback going into the leagues, going into the season.
Right. So, first off, does it concern me? A little. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's August 5th. Okay, so we've got some time before games start counting. We've still got some time here. You know, but Stefania, if she were here, one of the things she would say is the fact that, remember, like, it's, she always talks about recovery time. And she always likes players coming off of ACLs that, or prefers them, I should say, somebody like Saquon, who's had a full year to recover. Remember, Joe Burrow got hurt in the middle of last year. Now, again, on track to return, but had less time to recover than somebody that might have gotten hurt in the preseason last year, game one, game two. I mean, you know, I think he played 10 games, right?
Bro, I believe it was 10 or 11.
Yeah, something like that. So there's less time to recover. The other concern here is, like, does it in any way limit his mobility? Not that he was ever Josh Allen or Kyler Murray, but he had a little bit of, you know, a little bit of, yeah, he had a little bit of scoot, a little bit of Aaron Rodgers-ish, if you will, you know, could get you maybe 250 yards and three touchdowns on the ground over the course of a year. So there's a little bit of a concern there. And that's been some of the, I saw the same article you did from The Athletic where that was some of the reporting, as it seemed like he wasn't planting on his foot. He seemed tentative on that knee.
Trust, right?
Yeah, it was trust. And so, and Stefania talks about that all the time in terms of a player's trust. Having said that, here's the positives of Joe Burrow. Talented player. Insanely talented player. When he was injured last year, at the point that he got injured last year, he led the NFL in pass attempts. Like, they were throwing all over the place because that defense was brutal. We don't expect that defense to be much better this year. And, oh, by the way, they added Ja'Marr Chase. Like, you're going to get year two of T. Higgins, who became a thing last year. T. Higgins, love T. Higgins. Tyler Boyd, obviously, really, really talented. And now you add Ja'Marr Chase. You could make the argument that that's as good a trio as pass catchers in the NFL as there is on any team. Like, it's right
it's
up there.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
It's a phenomenal group of pass catchers for a guy in Joe Burrow who, you know, last year looked like an NFL quarterback, looked like a guy that you're like, okay, I get it. I get why that guy was the number one overall pick. Like, he had moments that, you know, were a little head scratchy. He's a rookie behind a bad offensive line, but Joe Burrow can play football.
Yeah.
And so those are all the positives. But yes, I'm a little concerned. You mentioned I have him QB 13, so I'm as a QB 2 because I'm worried about the injury. I'm worried about the lack of rushing just in general. The offensive line is not going to be great either.
Terrible.
You know, and so that's a concern here. And if we continue to hear reports and we see him in the games and it doesn't look great, you might have to drop him a few more spots. Like, at this point right now, you have him lower than I do. If I told you Justin Fields is going to start game one for the Bears, who are you taking?
Justin Fields.
I agree.
Because of the rushing upside in fantasy. I don't want to make this into which one of the former Ohio State quarterbacks is better right now. Like, Joe Burrow showed something last year, and Justin Fields has a lot to show. But
fantasy wise, of course.
400 rushing yards from Justin Fields, that's an additional, 40 points in fantasy? That would be, 1,000 extra passing yards?
Right, exactly.
That's hard to overcome. So, yeah. I don't know. So, I'm a quarterback 15, as you mentioned. He feels like a fade to me this year. And I don't know if this is just reading too much into some of the early reporting. I don't know if it's the fact that despite all the volume last year, it was not efficient.
Sure.
He had 1 or 0 touchdown passes in 6 of his 10 starts last year.
Yep.
There were not, there like as okay or as solid as the raw numbers looked when you go back and reflect on the box score. If you break it down game by game, there wasn't too many efforts where it was like, this was awesome. If I'm not mistaken, and a Bengals fan can come correct me if this is the case, I'm pretty sure there was a game last year where they were down by like 23 to the Browns at halftime or something. And he came back and he had like 4 touchdown passes. And the fantasy day was great, but you're saying to yourself, like, the Bengals are bad defensively, but you don't expect them to be down by 4 touchdowns bad every single week to the point that you can expect Joe Burrow to have to throw it 25 times in the second half.
Yeah, but how much does it... When it comes to fantasy, mm-hmm. you're making half fantasy, half NFL argument. My question to you is, how much does efficiency matter in fantasy? Again, I'm with
here's
you.
What, like, here's what it does to me.
Okay.
Is that when you have a quarterback outside the top 10 that you are either being patient on or making the case could leap into the top 10, there's a lot of competition.
Sure. That right?
So
I agree with, yeah.
Matthew Stafford is an example of a quarterback that we've already talked about a little bit so far this week on the show. He's a little bit ahead of Joe Burrow, but in that same sort of tier, right? Potentially Justin Fields. Who knows whether Trey Lance gets the job in San Francisco or not, but if he gets the job, the quarterback we'll talk about in a little bit, Baker Mayfield, could be a quarterback that could break through.
Yeah.
If Cam Newton bounces back, I mean, he was quarterback 16 last year, and everything
with
went
wrong.
Right.
With no pass catchers.
I mean, the list goes on of quarterbacks. Sam Darnold's got good weapons.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that, like, you're going to have to ultimately hedge your bets on a couple of these guys trending up and a couple of these guys sort of averaging out to the middle of the pack. And my early lean is at Joe Burrow, not because of him as a player, but some of the offensive line concerns and his health is sort of averaging out back towards the middle of the pack.
So two things. Just back to the specific discussion about efficiency. My point on efficiency is like, yes, that's very important when you're evaluating a player's talent, but I just think volume masks everything. That, and if you can... I think the volume will be there for Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have to throw a lot, especially, by the way, as we'll get to in a second here with Joe Mixon, there's questions about his health as well. So I think the volume will be there. And so while you prefer him to be more efficient than not, if he's chucking it 40 to 45 times a game, you know what I mean? Like, the numbers will be there whether it's pretty or not. Having said that, I agree with your assessment about the fade piece, because where he's currently going on ESPN is QB 11. That's his ADP. He's going in the 11th round, but he's going in the same range as Ryan Tannehill and Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And if you tell me which one of those three leaps into the top 10, which one of those three becomes a top five fantasy quarterback this year, Joe Burrow's last on that list.
Right, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say Jalen Hurts, and I was like, well, Tannehill could be sweet too, right?
So, oh, yeah, Tannehill just added Julio Jones. Yeah, Tannehill was a top 10 fantasy quarterback last year and added Julio Jones. Jalen Hurts, obviously, we know about was a top 10 fantasy quarterback last year in the four starts that he made. So, yes, I mean, to me, I think he's a fade based on where he's going right now on ESPN.
Let's move forward to Joe Mixon, who you just teased a minute ago. And Joe Mixon missed the last 10 games of last season because of a foot injury that just felt like it was getting closer and then getting further away and then getting closer and then getting further away. Very frustrating year. I don't believe he went on IR until like late December last year, did Joe Mixon. But when he plays, Matthew, he is a very talented guy, and he's also a very busy player. The Bengals have shown a willingness to make him a workhorse back since they drafted him all the way back in 2018. So he's been in the NFL for four seasons. He had one year where he was just lights out. That was 2018, and it was everything you wanted for out of a star running back. He's a player that I continue to struggle with. I just do. A lot of the stars align for him. There's no competition to take away significant work from Joe Burrow in the backfield. Joe Mixon, excuse me. He's a very good pass catcher on top of his rushing skills. He's a talented guy. But he also plays behind one of the worst offensive lines in football.
Yep.
He has averaged more than 4.1 yards per carry in a season once. Last year, he played six games. In those six games, he averaged 3.0 yards per carry or fewer in four of those six games. I mean, it's not an efficient running game at all in Cincinnati. How much does that efficiency matter to you for Joe Burrow? Joe Mixon.
It does. So Mixon makes me nervous. Here's the things I believe, and I'm saying similar to you, I think, but in a slightly different way, which is that, like, believe in the talent.
Yep.
Guy can play football. So I believe in the talent. I believe in the bell cow role. I agree that I think he is going to get a massive amount of volume. That there does, you know, like, talk about Samaje Perine or Chris Evans or whatever, but like, it
doesn't scare me.
From a competition standpoint, I believe in the role. I have concerns about the offensive line. I have concerns about the offense, right? Because again, if we think like
if they're
throwing it a ton, is he a good pass catcher? Yes. Is he Giovanni Bernard? No, he's not. And so, you know, what is the tendency of him to be involved in the passing game? Like, he is a three down back, but again, if you're like, you're down four touchdowns, you're not trying to dump it off a bunch, right?
You're throwing it, especially
when you've added Jamar Chase, right?
Yes,
you know, and so we don't know, like, how much is he, especially if you have struggle. If you have three guys like in Higgins, Boyd, and Chase, and you don't have a great offensive line, and you're on the five-yard line, are you better off saying, like, which one of those guys can win a one-on-one battle, or are you going to try to send Joe Mixon off tackle and try to, you know, beat up a defensive line? Chances are, especially when you're in the AFC North, you're going to try to throw to one of those receivers.
I agree.
I mean, when you think about they're going against the Ravens or the Browns or the Steelers defensive lines. Okay. And the other thing I have is the health. This is a guy that has missed time. And what was weird last year, and I would love, I know Stefania is a little nervous about Joe Mixon as well. Like, that when you think about last year, like, it was super weird. It was just like he was hurt, and it was just like, maybe next week. Like, we never heard anything other than just, like, maybe this week, and maybe next week. And then, like, he ended up just not playing for the rest of the season. And maybe once Joe Burrow was done, they were like, you know what, it's a lost season. We put a lot of money into Joe Mixon as well. Let's save him. But, like, he just seems to get nicked up a lot. And the end of the season was super weird with the injury. And when you sit there and you're thinking about the fact that you have to take him in the Najee Harris round, like, I don't, you know, it's...
Yeah, I'd say
it's a little dicey. He's outside my top 10 as well.
And we're not that far outside the top 10, so still a really good guy. But if I went either wide receiver or Travis Kelce with my first pick, my preference would not be to have Joe Mixon as my presumptive RB1.
100% agree with that.
If you take Zeke and he's sitting there in the second round for you and you think you're just going to load up on running backs, I'm more comfortable with it. Let's talk about the wide receivers in just a minute because they're really, really interesting. But first, Do you own or rent your home?
Yep.
Sure you do. I know Daniel does, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Field, do you want to get in shape, but you're having trouble staying motivated?
Sure do.
Well, make 5-hour energy shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to finally get fit. All right, we all know sometimes you don't want to go to the gym. We can see it in your flabby underarms. But why not take a 5-hour energy shot to give you the feeling and alertness so that you can get to the gym? With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-Hour Energy website has flavors galore. Watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach, mango. More flavors there for everyone. You can try them all. And this is pretty cool. On the site, you even have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack. You get to choose the flavors, and then it's delivered directly to your door. Oh, you look at those arms there, Field. You definitely could use some 5-Hour Energy as we need to get you in the gym. If you go to 5hourenergy.com, that's the number 5hourenergy.com, and get some 5-Hour Energy product today, you can use the promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. The offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on subscription orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com today. Use the promo code FFF.
All right, we're back. Let's get into these wide receivers. And I think we actually might be going intuitively in the backwards order, but that's okay. We'll start with Tyler Boyd here, Matthew, who was the Bengals' top scoring wide receiver last year. Jamar Chase was still playing. Well, he wasn't playing for LSU, but he was not in the NFL either. But Tyler Boyd averaged 12.8 fantasy points per game. I've got him at wide receiver 38 now, I believe. 36. Daniel has him at wide receiver 27. And I'm starting to wonder if he, too, is a bit of a fade for me. And this comes down to whether you believe fundamentally that, like, you win your fantasy championship with sort of the floor or the ceiling. And I think there's an argument in this range of wide receivers to be chasing the ceiling. Tyler Boyd's really solid football player, like rock solid, right? There's a reason why the Bengals drafted him in the second round, reinvested him in 4 years and $32 million. He's a slot receiver, though, Matthew. And I don't like when we do this for the most part. But if you take away Tyler Boyd's one long catch, which many will recall was a 72-yard touchdown against the Dolphins last year, where he caught the ball. It was a pick play where he caught the ball like a yard past the line of scrimmage, and there were just it was the parting of the seas, and he had 71 yards of no one in front of him. So I know that's not fair, because if you take away every player's best play from last year, their stat line looks a little bit different. But the addition of Jamar Chase and the fact that last year he averaged, Tyler Boyd, 3 yards per catch less than T. Higgins, I'm starting to wonder if this is, like, he's a safety play, but he's not a, I know that not every player has to be a league winner, but I'm not super enthusiastic this season.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said, except for the part where you said he's a fade. His ADP is wide receiver 38.
Oh, is it really that low?
He's going in the 11th round.
Okay. Yeah, that's lower than I
thought. I mean, right, understand that in the 11 weeks that Joe Burrow played, weeks 1 through 11, guy averaged 16.2 fantasy points per game. He was wide receiver 14.
Mm.
He was wide receiver 14.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, maybe Joe Burrow isn't as good as he was last year because he's recovering from the ACL, that the offensive line is bad, and they've added Jamar Chase, so maybe target share isn't there for Tyler Boyd. But there's a long drop from wide receiver 14 to wide receiver 38, because I don't think anything that you just said about Tyler Boyd this year is different than what he had last year. So Jamar Chase, I get it, but like we still think there's going to be a ton of volume. Like, if he's throwing 40 times a game, like, there's going to be enough for all three of those guys.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I think we agree that Tyler Boyd is a very good player.
Yeah.
And certainly Joe Burrow and him had a connection last year. Joe Burrow, if you go back to what he was doing in college and you think, look, last year, he likes throwing to the slot. Whether it was, you know, Justin Jefferson at LSU or, you know, Tyler Boyd last year, like, he likes throwing to the slot. And so, I don't know, this is a guy who led the team in red zone targets from Burrow last year. I know Jamar Chase wasn't there, but still, like, I don't know. I'm not ready to go. If I can get a guy that's got top 20 potential, which I think he does, I mean, he was wide receiver 14 last year, right, under Burrow. a guy that's a solid top 20 type guy at wide receiver 38, which is where he's going, I'm in.
I didn't realize he was going that low in drafts, which makes me feel a little bit better about the price is fine. But
I mean, he's going basically next to Jarvis Landry.
Right. Yeah,
and speaking,
yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about Jarvis Landry in a little bit here, but who would you rather have, Boyd or Landry? I'd rather have Boyd.
I'd rather have Tyler Boyd as well.
There you go.
Yeah, fair enough. But maybe
bingo bango.
Maybe
case solved. Next.
I think I'm thinking, done.
No. I need a gavel.
We have.
I want a gavel.
What I will say though is, I think one of the reasons why I was sort of using the word or thinking about fade in my mind about Tyler Boyd is that I do see myself investing in either of these next two players, especially, and this might not be what many expect, T. Higgins.
Love, kind of one of my guys this year.
I think I've anointed a couple players as my guys so far this year. Brandon Ayuk is one of the players. And I don't mean these are going to be the single best of their position, but players that I'm just super optimistic about. T. Higgins joins the Brandon Ayuk train.
Of your guys?
Of guys that I'm in on this year.
I'll give you two of my guys.
Okay.
I like Devontae Adams, kid out of Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Like him a lot.
Is he going to be a third-year player?
And yeah, I believe so. Okay. I believe so. And watch out for Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. D-I-G-G-S.
Yeah,
Diggs.
Shout out Ruffalo. Good to know.
Two guys that I like. In terms of my wide receivers, that like my guys.
I saw some good tweets about them recently. Yeah. Some favorable coverage. You're right. So anyways, but I do feel optimistic about T. Higgins to the point that
I love T. Higgins.
I wouldn't be surprised. Matter of fact, like if there was a futures on this, it wouldn't stun me at all if he leads this team in receiving yards.
Yeah.
Receiving touchdowns easily, right?
He's a phenomenal talent. I mean, we had a lot of fun with it last year. I don't know if you remember, I drafted T. Higgins late in the War Room League. And I think the first week I had to drop him. I had some sort of roster issue and I'm like, yeah, rookie wide receiver on a bad team. Like, I like him, but, you know, I'll be able to get him back. And, of course, Shefty scooped him immediately up and then not only, you know, used him quite all year long and it very effectively, but tortured me about it on Fantasy Football Now every single Sunday when we would have him on and talk about our various teams. And, T. Higgins played very well for Shefty. It tortured me to just see him go off every single week. I love T. Higgins.
Yeah, one of my guys this year, T. Higgins. Yep. I'm putting that one on record there. So he had 14 games, which he finished last year, and he had 6-plus targets in 13 of those 14 games. He averaged 13.6 yards per reception. Wouldn't surprise me if that number goes up. And we talked about this a couple of days ago. I can't recall exactly who we were discussing in that regard, but who's the defense focusing in on this year? It's pick your poison in Cincinnati. Now, it may be that they're just focusing in on the offensive line and just tormenting them and hoping for the best with the wide receivers. But if the offensive line plays...
Yeah, can't throw from your back. Right. I feel like you just say, you know what, we're just going to blitz him.
Blitz.
And see if he can get it off in time. Like,
but if you are playing if you're playing the Browns, Denzel Ward might be lining opposite of Jamar Chase and not T. Higgins. So really like T. Higgins. And right now, this is where I see the value, Matthew. Wide receiver 31 in terms of ADP right now. This, to me, is the biggest chasm between value and my rank amongst these three Bengals wide receivers.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Like, right now, he's going right after Chase Claypool. And I know we talked about Chase Claypool yesterday on the show. We both like Chase Claypool's talent. But in terms of a path to consistent targets and consistent fantasy value, T. Higgins has a much more clear path than Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool is competing with a lot more competition. You know what I mean? Like, and T. Higgins, it would not shock anyone if a year from now we're talking about the fact that T. Higgins led that team in targets and touchdowns and receptions and yards. Like, he's that talented, and we think that offense is going to throw quite a bit as well. Worth noting, weeks 3 through 10 last year, so basically give Higgins a couple of weeks to get acclimated as a rookie, and then just up until Burrow went out for the season, week 3 through 10, guy was wide receiver 19 on a points-per-game basis.
Pretty good.
As a rookie.
Yeah, pretty good. Let's move forward to the next rookie, which is Jamar Chase, fifth overall pick this year out of LSU, and we'll have many debates in years to come whether the Bengals should have gone with another wide receiver or whether they should have taken Penei Sewell, who went seventh, to Daniels, Honolulu Blue, Detroit Lions, but Jamar Chase was... Think it now, just do yourself a favor. Justin Jefferson, last year, how great he was. He was the clear-cut number two on his own college team two seasons ago because Jamar Chase was just that ridiculous alongside Joe Burrow en route to a national championship. There have been very few rookie wide receivers recently, Matthew, that have really broken the mold and dominated from the jump, and especially players that we forecasted to be big time factors as rookies. Now, at the same time, it's hard for me to envision Ja'Marr Chase slipping too far in your drafts, and I have him as wide receiver 25. Do we think this can be a player that can maybe not be Justin Jefferson, but also not be a Henry Ruggs or any of the other number of first-round wide receivers in previous seasons that simply haven't broken through?
See, I think he's insanely talented, but I bet you I don't wind up with a bunch of Ja'Marr Chase.
Because he's going to go too early. Him and Kyle Pitts
exactly,
will go way too early.
That's the thing, because here's the thing. Look at it. So I am at wide receiver 23. You have him at 25. His ADP is wide receiver 23.
Right.
But to your point, I have T. Higgins at wide receiver 22. So I'm making a call there. Like, I mean, I have Higgins one spot ahead of Ja'Marr Chase.
Same.
So, right? So, but Higgins is going wide receiver 31. And do you really want to invest how much in the Bengals offense? So chances are, like, you're basically picking one guy. You're probably not going with multiple Bengals wide receivers.
I agree.
So you'd rather have Higgins at cost than Ja'Marr Chase. So because he's going a couple rounds later. I mean, like, Higgins is going at the 8-9 turn. Ja'Marr Chase is going, like, I don't know, wide receiver 23. He's going ahead of Kenny Golladay and Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
So I agree. It's like, do we agree on the talent? Yes. Do we think he'll be
superb.
Good?
Yeah,
superb talent.
Superb. Yeah.
But same with Kyle Pitts. Like, Kyle Pitts is awesome.
Right.
Yeah. I won't have a lot of Kyle Pitts this year. Same with Ja'Marr Chase. Like, dynasty, like, Ja'Marr Chase needs to be one of the first three guys off the board
in
a rookie draft. But, like,
this is more about where he's going on the overall board than either where he ranks amongst wide receivers or what we think the potential is. Because, and I don't want to just throw out every possible scenario, because that's not what fantasy football analysis is. But there's a chance that we look back at the end of the season and he's easily the best rookie in fantasy, because he was arguably the best skill player in college football 2 years ago. I mean, and that's not a spicy take by any means. So we like all these Bengals wide receivers. I think we both agree that the value we are most intrigued by, though, is T. Higgins, who's right now wide receiver 31 in terms of ADP.
Yes.
The other Ohio team is the Cleveland Browns. And I say the other, that was a weird way of phrasing it, because the Browns they're the talk of the town right now, right? Browns 11-5 last year, revamped defense, talking about back-to-back
playoff
appearances.
Went into Pittsburgh and won a playoff game.
Oh, they went and stomped them, too, with like half their team gone. Their head coach wasn't there. Looking to make their first back-to-back postseason appearances since 1989 and 90. Of course, the Browns were gone from the NFL for a good chunk of that time, too. But the point is, things are more exciting right now in Cleveland than they have been in a long time. Well, it's not fantasy, because last year, Baker Mayfield, who has basically the same supporting cast as this year as he did last year, with a couple of small additions, was quarterback 24 on a points-per-game basis, 15.5 points per game, Matthew. I mentioned him earlier as sort of part of that tier of quarterbacks who, like, could break through, who could settle back. Do we see it from Baker? He got red hot down the stretch last year. Really hot. But do you remember last year?
Week 12 on, he was the seventh best quarterback in fantasy.
But remember there was also that stretch a little bit earlier on in the season where it was like, if Baker's going to break through fantasy-wise, not real football-wise, fantasy-wise, this is it. And it didn't really happen until the second half of that stretch. What do you make of Baker Mayfield this year? He's a tough one for me.
He is a tough one because we just haven't seen it consistently over a full season. Now, he's also had a tough career in this sense. In addition to, you know, having a lot of injuries around him, right? Freddie Kitchens takes over halfway through his rookie year. He ends up doing really well. Then Freddie Kitchens the next year, it's kind of a disaster. I like the idea of him. You and I both agree on this particular point. Kevin Stefanski can coach.
Sure.
Yeah, Kevin Stefanski can coach his butt off. And so I like the idea of him, Baker Mayfield, in the second year in the same system. Like, it was Hugh Jackson and there was Freddie Kitchens. Like, it's been a lot of different playbooks for Baker Mayfield.
Totally.
And so second year in the system, very good offensive line. And what does Kevin Stefanski do well? He runs the ball. He does play action, which is basically what Baker Mayfield does well as well. And so the fact that they have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and they have this really good offensive line, my expectation here is second year in the system, I like Baker Mayfield to have a nice year. So I have Baker Mayfield at QB 19.
not that it's super high, but I have him as one of those QB2s that could potentially break out, because this is a guy that's going undrafted in the majority of leagues on ESPN.
Yeah, and I think the reason why I don't have him higher is that you mentioned the formula. Like, you can say what you want about the Browns' pass catchers. They are very talented. This team, especially with that new-look defense, could win a lot of games this year, running the football a ton and playing better defense. Last year, they threw the ball on 54.5% of their plays. Yeah. Look around the NFL. That is not normal. That is very, very infrequent relative to other teams that are throwing the football 65, 68% of the time.
Average 30 pass attempts a game. Yeah, like 30, bottom five in the NFL. 30.
Just for some context, we talked about Big Ben yesterday. He was at like 608 or 650 passing attempts last year, which you do the math, that's almost 40. That's closer to 40 a game. So opportunities are part of the reason why Baker Mayfield not quite on our QB1 radar. But let's talk about his running backs, because there's a lot of talent.
But I do think there is some upside there with Baker, because here's the thing. I believe in the talent. I believe in the talent of his pass catchers. I like the idea. And also, last year was a weird year. Remember, they also had some bad weather games where like it was crazy wind.
Like every game
every week it was just
rain.
Like crazy wind. And so anyway, I'm in on Baker this year as a QB2 sleeper, as a later on QB2 sleeper.
Nick Chubb was last year finished as RB7, 17.3 points per game. He missed four games last year. Remember, had that MCL injury. I've got him at RB10. You've got him at RB8. Matthew Daniel has him at RB10 as well. So we talked yesterday about tiebreakers. Like, when you're picking players in the first few rounds, you're kind of looking for tiebreakers. Nick Chubb is a phenomenal talent, one of the best pure runners in the NFL.
No doubt.
Is impossible to bring down. It feels like he's got great speed, he's got great power, vision, you name it, he has it in terms of running back traits. There's one thing that he lacks that has me not concerned, but has me breaking ties in favor of players like Austin Eckler or Aaron Jones at the top of that running back depth chart, which is that last year, I believe it was 15 catches on 18 targets.
Yep.
In 12 games. Last year, at least, was basically a zero in the passing game. As a matter of fact, if you go through his career, he's played three seasons, he got 72 catches. If memory is correct, 25 of those came early in 2019, which is particularly notable. I think it was the first six games or eight games. Those are the games that Kareem Hunt was not available because of a suspension of the Browns.
Right.
Now Kareem Hunt is there. So, if you're making the case for Nick Chubb over, let's say, an Austin Eckler, do you have him over Eckler?
I don't. I don't have
Jones?
Him over Eckler. But I have him over Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
And
yeah. So do
like,
I.
So,
yeah.
Right. But the public does not. Like, in terms of ADP, he's currently going in the second round, he's going behind Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
Being drafted after Jonathan Taylor. And so this is something that I go into in my draft day manifesto, which is available now on ESPN.com, the ESPN app, and the ESPN fantasy app. I'm a company man.
Dun-dun-dun.
That's breaking news. There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
We got there.
It's still the preseason. All right. We're still working out our our drops. But there you go. So anyway, I go into a whole thing about Nick Chubb. Here's the thing about Nick Chubb. The lowest Nick Chubb has finished on a per-game basis since taking over as a starter in Cleveland is running back 15. In those three seasons, Chubb is averaging 19.4 touches per game, has at least 16 touches in 32 of 38 games. Okay, that's an 84% run. So you see it there on your screen if you're watching. Since week seven, that, you know, post the Carlos Hyde trade in his rookie year.
Yep.
The worst he's ever finished is running back 15. He was running back 7 last year, obviously, running back 11 in 2019. He's never a sexy pick. People don't, you know, because to your point, there's concerns about the passing game usage or lack thereof.
But I think those are fair, by the way.
Right.
Yeah, they're fair. Yeah.
Right. But last year, like, Nick Chubb was going behind guys like Kenyon Drake and Miles Sanders.
Oh, ridiculous.
Right. Well, yeah. Kenyon Drake had been great for half a season with the Cardinals at that point. Miles Sanders had been awesome for six games when Jordan Howard was out.
Right.
Right. Now he's going after Jonathan Taylor, who just lost his quarterback and his all-star left guard, and who was great last year without Marlon Mack. I'm not saying Jonathan Taylor is a bad player. He's obviously a great player. But my point is like, there's a much longer proven track record of fantasy success for Nick Chubb than some of the guys that are being drafted ahead of him because they're, quote, sexier. And when you're drafting early in those first rounds, I want safe.
Yeah.
I want locked in production. I use this phrase all the time. I've used it throughout my career. It is absolutely true. You cannot win your league in the first round. You can lose it. Like, you need rock solid production in the first or second round. Where you win your leagues is when you grab the Brandon Ayuk slate, you know, last year. When you pick up the James Robinsons off the free agent, you know, off the free agent wire, or the Robert Tonyans. Right. Like, that's how you win your leagues, is with guys like that.
Right. So, we both love Nick Chubb, and I feel like I've been a little bit more, not negative to start the show this season, but I'm trying to be like, I think what's useful for people is, like, obviously you love Nick Chubb if you have him inside your top 10 at running backs, but how do you love him, or how much do you love him vis-a-vis players that are also available there, which can be the difference, as you said, between winning and potentially losing your league in the first round. So love Nick Chubb. I just love him as a player.
Yeah, I am at running back 8. His current ADP is running back 8. So
Let me put it this way.
Yes, sir.
If Kareem Hunt played for somebody else, I think Nick Chubb would be part of the tier one of running backs.
There's no question.
Because of the passing game volume. But because of the relative lack of passing game volume, he's just one tier below.
If Kareem Hunt wasn't there, he's Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're talking about him in a very different light.
Right.
We're going to talk about Kareem Hunt in just a minute, by the way.
All right. Yeah.
But let's get there in a second. But first, Daniel.
Secret Squirrel, do you want me to get into the James White stuff on the manifesto, or you want to do that later?
No, let's get into it now. Why don't we get into it now before we do this quick update, and then we'll go from there. But do that, since it's a part of the whole manifesto conversation.
Please do.
All right. So one of the themes that I talk about in the manifesto here is I have the never James White rule.
Okay.
Never James White. And here's the thing. James White's a good football player.
Yeah.
James White's a solid player. Over the past two seasons, James White is running back 21 in total points, running back 22 on a points per game, among running backs that appeared in at least 24 games over that stretch. He is solid. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Right? He's never going to win you a week. Or if he does win you a week because he manages to fall into the end zone twice, like, you're never going to know when it's going to come.
You're not going to start him that week.
You're not going to start him that way. Like, it's just like, he's fine. He's fine. And so I always take real issue with any of these sites that do accuracy rankings, because the truth is that if you want to accurately rank somebody, you rank James White as your running back 23 or whatever it is, and he's going to come fairly close to that. But he's never going to help you win a league.
Right.
I would much rather have a guy like Tony Pollard, it may be useless for much of the season, but if Ezekiel Elliott misses two games, he's a top five running back. Like, he's an Ezekiel Elliott hamstring away from being a top five running back, Tony Pollard.
Yep.
And so, because part of the issue with fantasy that people, I think, don't forget, that people completely forget when they are drafting, is that it is a weekly game and that you're setting your lineup every single week. As dumb as that sounds, as obvious as that sounds, I think people forget that, because the truth is, it's not just about players having production. It's about knowing when to start them. Like, think about Nyheim Hines last year. Nyheim Hines finished 10 spots ahead of Jamal Williams. Like, if you'd ranked Nyheim Hines 10 spots ahead of Jamal Williams, you'd have been more accurate, okay? But Nyheim Hines had four big games last year with no rhyme or reason. Like, he had that 21-point game in week one, and then the very next week had 1.3 points. Like, just no rhyme or reason. But Jamal Williams, the 2 weeks that Aaron Jones was out, was a top 10 fantasy running back. Right. He had like 20 points in each of those games. You knew when to start Jamal Williams. It was the two games that Aaron Jones was out.
Right.
So Jamal Williams, to me, was much more valuable last year than Nyheim Hines, who was up and down. Like, you got four good games out of Nyheim Hines, but you had no idea. There's no rhyme or reason when those four games happened. I would much rather have somebody like Jamal Williams that, like, oh, Aaron Jones is out? Good. I can plug him in, and boom, I've got top 10 production. So I think when you're constructing your roster, your first five picks need to be guys like Nick Chubb, guys that you're starting no matter what every single week, assuming, by the way, that you're not taking quarterback in the first five rounds. But the rest of your guys need to be guys that could potentially win you a week, and that you would, and guys that you would know when to start them,
right,
versus just guys that they'll be fine, but like, James White ain't winning you a championship.
Well, this is, if it ain't first, you're last, right?
Right. So it's like, what are we doing? It's the never James White rule. And so anyway, I go into it more depth in the Draft Day Manifesto, but I just sort of want to, because Nick Chubb is a really good example of somebody that people tend to, quote, fade or not value properly because he's not sexy, but because there's a floor there. And so just, it's a good opportunity to talk about sort of the difference between floor players and upside players, and understanding that when you're constructing your roster, it's not just about getting those players, but also getting players that you're going to know when to start and when to utilize.
Sure. Agree on that. We'll talk about Nick Chubb's counterpart in the backfield in just a minute. That's Kareem Hunt. But first, Daniel, a word from Hotwire.
That's right. Do me a favor, guys. Imagine a nice vacation, like a Stefania kind of vacation, all right?
Wow.
All right.
Is there a view of a parking lot in that vacation? Nope.
No.
Definitely not. So don't book a cheap hotel. Book an expensive hotel for cheap on Hotwire. With hot rate deals, you can stay in a nicer hotel than you ever thought possible. First, you just select your city, your neighborhood, and all the amenities you're looking for. Then you get your hot rate. You got better views, king-size beds, and freshly pressed waffle woven robes await you. I feel like, Field, you probably grew up with freshly pressed waffle woven robes, correct?
I did not, but that sounds lovely.
It does sound lovely. You know what? You get actual waffles, too, with your stay. So download the Hotwire app now and book beyond your wildest means. All bookings final.
Daniel, you know what? I want to take a moment here just to give a shout out to rotopass.com.
Oh, yeah.
It's a collection of sites. You get a year subscription to ESPN Plus.
One of the best deals on the internet.
Just one of the best deals on the internet.
Yeah.
ESPN plus five other sites, all sorts of tools, customized ranks, whether you play best ball, dynasty, what have you, data visualization, great analysis, and of course, again, access to ESPN Plus where you can watch Daniel and myself on the Fantasy Show. Two new episodes next week.
That's right.
Are coming. You get Mike Clay's stuff, your stuff, my stuff, everyone's stuff, Tristan and Eric, Stefania's stuff, ESPN Plus, five other sites. Use the promo code 06010 for 10% off at rotopass.com. It literally is the best deal on the internet.
And everybody loves a deal on a deal. 10% off and already great deals.
Right.
Count me in. All right, let's get to Kareem Hunt, who last year finished as RB19 on a points-per-game basis, 13.7 points per game. I kind of feel like Kareem Hunt has become a fairly straightforward player to rank and value.
Yep.
We've all got him at RB25. Actually, Daniel has him at RB26. So we're one whole spot apart on this show.
He
right?
hates Kareem Hunt. I don't
no,
know
but
Kareem
this,
Hunt.
This is an example of a player that you were just saying, like, you know, James White probably will finish, well, maybe not this year, not anymore, but for a long time was finishing around RB20 to 23 every single year. Kareem Hunt, I think, is going to be ranked every week around RB20 to 23, and some weeks will probably deliver you RB7 or 8, because even last year, when Nick Chubb was on the field, there were occasional games where Kareem Hunt, very good pass catcher, got involved in the passing game and also got 10, 12, 14 carries and a couple of goal line looks.
Five different games with 18 or more fantasy points last year. And unlike James White, Kareem Hunt has the extra added that if something were to happen to Nick Chubb, which did happen last year, Kareem Hunt's a top five fantasy running back.
Correct. He is he's a reasonable target for those that go zero RB.
Yes,
he is,
1,000%.
Because he's going to be sitting there in the fifth or sixth round, and he's not going to, absent Nick Chubb missing time, he's not going to be a top five or eight rate running back, but he's going to almost always be usable. At worst, he is a flex, depending on your league size.
He's going running back 23. He's going in the early eighth round, kind of in the same tier as Travis Etienne and Chase Edmonds.
Right.
And I'd rather Kareem Hunt. I like Chase Edmonds a lot. I actually like Travis Etienne a lot, but I think they all have about the same floor, and Hunt has the bigger upside of those three guys. Etienne could be special. Like,
no, I think the floor for Hunt, though, is way higher than those two, right? Like, Edmonds is not a given. Like, again, this is a player that they've been reticent to rely upon heavily, and say what you want about him. James Conner was signed this year. And then Travis Etienne, like, it's cool that they use a first-round pick on him. They all have top five fantasy running back on the roster already. Like, they may be like, okay, even if we thought...
And Carlos Hyde.
So I think Kareem Hunt, we can kind of keep it pretty straightforward. As a matter of fact, he had 11 top 30 games last year. Only seven running backs had more than Kareem Hunt. Let's move to the wide receivers. I think that's where a little bit more of the interesting conversation takes place. And again, we'll go in sort of reverse order. Jarvis Landry was wide receiver 37 last year, 12.5 points per game. Anybody who knows me knows I love Jarvis Landry, respect the heck out of him as a player. He had not missed a game in his career until last year when he had to miss one due to COVID protocols. Remember, there was all those COVID issues with players being exposed to somebody. He's never missed a game due to injury, though. The guy is always out there on the field. Every year in his career, he has at least 100 targets. But last year, Matthew, we saw something very different. He didn't score in the first 12 games or 11 games
weird.
Of last
yeah.
season. It was very bizarre. Have the days of targeting Jarvis Landry passed us by in fantasy football?
To me, they have.
Yeah.
Because to your point, I would actually use the Tyler Boyd argument that you made here on Jarvis Landry. Look, his ADP is wide receiver 40. He's going in the 11th, 12th round, somewhere in that turn. So, like, whatever.
He
doesn't cost anything. It's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine, but, like, to me, Jarvis Landry is the wide receiver version of James White. Like, is he a
Is he a very good NFL player? He is.
Yep.
Is he solid? Yes. Is there a floor there? But at that and but unlike Nick Chubb, where there's a very high floor, there's a low floor for Jarvis Landry. And where he's going,
he's going
Tyler Boyd, Devontae Smith, Michael Gallup, Debo Samuel. Like, I'd rather like any of those guys.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith could get a 25% target share this year.
Right, we don't know. I mean, there are so many lottery tickets that we've talked about a million times, right? About the wide receiver spot. There are guys that we won't even bring up during the podcast over the next couple of months. Like, Corey Davis got $12.5 million per year. Like,
exactly.
Doesn't that tell you something, right? Like, he's probably going to be a pretty useful player for them.
Yeah, reports out of Cowboys camp is they're moving Michael Gallup all the way around. Like, we love Michael Gallup's talent. Sure, it was just where they got Cooper and they got CeeDee Lamb. But, like, we expect that offense to be one of the best in the NFL. Like,
yeah.
Michael Gallup and Debo Samuel, like, guy needs to stay healthy.
Darnell
but
Mooney's generating a lot of buzz. Like, there's just so many guys who you could at least talk yourself into 1,000 yards.
Exactly. Yeah. And just Jarvis Landry is sort of like, yawn. Like, again, respect him as a player, respect him as a person.
Yeah.
Like, nothing but mad respect for him. And, you know, by all accounts, like a great teammate and one of the leaders of that team.
He's
and
a
like,
dude. Yeah,
right.
For sure.
But fantasy-wise, you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of where he's going, like, you'd rather chase upside.
So, speaking of chasing upside, this is one of the great upside conundrums in fantasy football this year.
Can I bail on this one?
Can we just say no? Yes, I just want to pardon myself from having any Odell Beckham Jr. takes this year.
I don't either. I believe he is the hardest player to rank in fantasy this year.
I would concur. Where do you put him?
Is there a player in fantasy football that has a wider range of outcomes than Odell Beckham Jr.?
I don't think so.
If he finishes the year as a top five fantasy wide receiver, is anyone shocked because of the talent? And, you know, we expect Baker to take another step? Of course we're not, because he's that good.
Right. It's like surprise, not shocked, right?
We're surprised. But if he also crashes and burns once again and is the fourth best pass catcher fantasy-wise on his team after Landry, Higgins, and Austin Hooper, is anyone shocked?
Right. Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah,
I don't know what to do with Odell Beckham Jr.
So here's what I've done. And we actually both have him at wide receiver 34, interestingly enough. Daniel has him at wide receiver 31.
Why do you love Odell Beckham Jr.?
I don't even know. I feel bad now a little bit inside now that I've seen that. I want to move him down to 34 with you
every
guys.
Every year, you're going to hear the same thing. Odell's going to look, coming off of a major, he's going to look amazing. Because he's Odell. Right. He's ridiculous. The guy is an unbelievable talent. I just don't know what to make. Like, but that was every piece of evidence that I can give you for why Odell could break out this year applied last year and the year before. Nothing's changed. He's still dynamic. He's still electric. Incredibly fast. The Browns have a capable quarterback in Baker Mayfield. Smart offensive mind in Kevin Stefanski calling plays. But sometimes, the only thing I can say, Matthew, is that sometimes it feels like there's a pressure built in when having Odell Beckham Jr. on your roster to get him the ball. Then it starts to work backwards. But 2 years ago, we really saw this, right? Like, his red zone targets were absurd.
Baker's numbers are better without Odell Beckham Jr. As insane as it is to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, whether it's cause and effect, right?
Yeah, totally.
But just pure stats, Baker's numbers are better without Beckham on the field. Like,
he's super confusing.
It's
super confusing.
I will say, I think the drafters have bailed us out of this one, though.
They have.
And I'll tell you why.
It's absurd.
He's being drafted as wide receiver 26. So I think they're bailing us out in that, like, because, like, to
That's
me, he's a fade.
Yeah.
That's too early for me. He's going ahead of Juju Smith-Schuster. He is going ahead of Michael Thomas. Like, if you're going to take a flyer in that range on an injury-prone wide receiver that has massive upside, why wouldn't it be Michael Thomas? Odell Beckham Jr., has missed at least 4 games in 3 of the past 4 seasons since joining Cleveland. Okay? He's wide receiver 39 on a points per game basis.
39!
Wide receiver 39. Since he's been in Cleveland on a points per game basis,
ridiculous,
he's wide receiver 39, 12.9 games. He's had 3 games, only 3 games in Cleveland where he's had more than 20 points. He's had 2 games with over 100 receiving yards. And I bet one of them was that Monday night game against the Jets where he took that one pass 90 yards
or whatever it was. Yeah.
Right, that one
Greg
big
Williams
play.
Revenge.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, Thirsty Kyle found this. He is 75th out of 89 qualified wide receivers in fantasy points per target since he joined the Browns. And obviously some of that is the touchdowns, and they tried to get him the ball. He had that weird year where they just could not get him the ball in the end zone, despite, you know, throwing it to him a ton. But like, Michael, why would you not want Juju Smith-Schuster or Michael Thomas, both of whom have also been elite fantasy receivers, candidly more recently than Odell Beckham has?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know that Michael Thomas's injuries concerns are any greater than Beckham's at this point in their careers.
It kind of reminds me of the emotion side of fantasy football, because what's the expression? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right.
I think that's going to happen with people this year, right? Is they're just going to say to themselves, I know there's a world.
Done that.
Yeah, I know there's a world where Odell finishes as a top five wide receiver, as you noted. But I also drafted him last year, and he did very little consistently up until he got hurt. So I do wonder if maybe that ADP will correct itself a little bit as we get closer and closer to this season.
Yeah.
Field, can I ask a real quick question? Because I know we're moving on here.
Yeah.
Other than those two pass catchers, you basically have Rashad Higgins and Donovan Peoples-Jones. Neither of those guys are guys that you're really targeting in redraft leagues. But
I don't think so.
In
Anthony
dynasty
Schwartz
leagues,
sort of interesting. Yeah.
Donovan Peoples-Jones, do you like him?
He's getting a little bit of buzz. I actually like Higgins.
Yeah.
Do
Here's
you?
Why they're interesting.
I do.
So Higgins is... They re-signed him this offseason. He's back for one more year. But what's interesting about the Browns, and again, I don't want this to turn into a salary cap conversation, but the Browns have a lot of players who are young and about to get paid. Some of them have already been paid, like Miles Garrett. Baker needs to get paid at some point. Nick Chubb just got paid. They got a lot of money currently sunk into two wide receivers, Odell and Jarvis Landry. At some point, you're going to have to make difficult decisions across your roster.
Yep.
Those are two players that are often speculated upon as potential other trade or lease candidates down the line, not right now. So I mentioned that only because a year from now, this wide receiver group could look very, very different. I don't have, like, I agree, like, Higgins is my favorite because I know the most about him. At the same time, he could also be gone a year from now. So,
I mean, like, the last pick in our Dynasty League draft was Anthony Schwartz, who's a rookie out of Auburn that they like a lot. Like, you know,
who can fly.
He can absolutely fly. So, like, that's a guy that, like, I'm stashing in our Dynasty League because
A
year from now, maybe he's something.
Again, the bill eventually comes due, and the Browns, who have a lot of success recently and were active in free agency, are going to have to make some moves.
That's really interesting.
I know we're running short on time here, so I just want to make sure we get to Austin Hooper.
Yeah.
I have Austin Hooper as tight end 13. I think Austin Hooper, who is a good player and they signed to a lot of money, I think Austin Hooper might be a nice option for those that go cheap at the position, that don't get one of the big three and decide to sort of wait and don't want to get into the middle sections there of the, you know, the Hockenson's, the Logan Thomas's. Maybe they don't feel great about Tyler Higbee, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I actually think outside the top 10, I like some Austin Hooper.
He had a good stretch in the middle of last year. Not a lot of yards per reception last year. It was much more like in between the hashes work for him. At some point, something's got to happen with David Njoku, right? And if he was gone, it's one less domino that sort of impacts the Austin Hooper production train. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't have a great feel for him. I like the player a lot, like the person a lot too. Like he knows fantasy well. Like we appreciate the players that embrace it like he does. I don't have a great feel. I don't mean that. That's sort of vanilla. I don't know one way or the other.
Browns ranked fourth in tight end target share in 2020. And again, I just sort of feel like a reliable, good player, second year in that system. Again, I'm expecting Baker to take a step forward. Yeah. And Stefanski does like to use his tight ends in the red zone.
Harkens
back to his time in Minnesota. So give me some Austin Hooper as a little bit of a sleeper this year. Yeah,
At some point, you're going to have to just make some guesses on these tight ends that aren't part of that clear top three and then not part of that next five or six. And there's a lot to choose from, but there are certainly very reasonable options, Austin Hooper being one of them.
Guy was a number one tight end in fantasy at one point. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he...
His highest paid tight end in NFL history at one point, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, like guys that have proven success at the highest level, which Austin Hooper has in recent memory.
And he might also be really interesting in Dynasty, because I just mentioned a year from now, you could have a whole new wide receiver group. And David Njoku is going into... Maybe he has one more year beyond this on his rookie contract. But still, something could come to a head there. What do you got, Daniel?
True or false, just as we're ending this, true or false, at the end of the year, all three Bengals wide receivers will have more fantasy points than Odell Beckham Jr.?
True.
I'm going to go 2 out of 3, so false.
2 out of 3?
Yeah. Higgins and Chase. God, that's weird to say, huh?
My rankings say all three.
Yeah, I have all three as top 30.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm wrong, but I'm just like, I'm telling you in terms of if I drop by my rankings, and I do,
it like, doesn't feel nice to say.
It's just the Battle of Ohio. I'm just curious.
Yeah. It's super weird, and I'd say that Field is right. Obviously, you know, taking the field versus, no pun intended, versus one player in Beckham, but like,
yeah.
Good thought there. All right.
This thing, I appreciate you letting me. I thank you for fielding my questions. Again, no pun intended.
Well done by both of you. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks for watching Fantasy Focus Football. We'll be back tomorrow.
Peace out. Fantasy, you're in the 06010.